Teachers, Mr. Olmstead.
Let me just emphasize by saying this, and I'll ask this rhetorically. When's the last time you've ever heard of our jails being understaffed? I'm sorry, underpopulated. They're always overpopulated. It's a failed vision of leadership to anticipate this overpopulation. The most significant way to go ahead and create bed space in the jail system right now is we need to get the mentally ill out of the jail. By getting the mentally ill, anywhere from 15% to 30% have an intervention process before they even get in there. We know that inmates and mentally ill steal to feed themselves. And when we have the same person going in and out 50, 60, 70 times taking up that necessary bed space, that particular person needs to have an intervention and sent off to a mental health facility within the community. But I'm going to need the help of the DA. You know, I need to change legislation, mental health. I need the board of supervisors to help buy off on this stuff. That being said, I will be able to create the bed space necessary to go ahead and ensure that we have the bad guys stay in jail the way they should be. But mental health issues are just one way of doing it.
Mr. Hummel.
I think your question had to do with the potential for alternatives to custody as well to properly manage the jail, and I would certainly be for that. When you have felons that are released right out of jail who have been in pattern robberies, kicking in doors, burglarizing our communities, and then we arrest them by the hard work and dedication of our sheriff's deputies, and then they're released because we're holding low-level offenders, that's a problem. So I know a lot of people don't like to talk about the prospect of releasing people from jail, but I think it's about priorities. Not overreaching for low-level offenses, properly managing those through alternatives to custody, whether it be rehabilitation or other options that are more cost-effective, by the way. And it's, yes, it is for trying to reduce the recidivism rate, absolutely, and we've found that to be effective. But also, I want to make sure that when we have violent felons, we're able to hold them in custody when our deputies track them down. And trust me, they are tracking them down, but then they're released again to commit the same crimes. So I am for proper jail management of the population.
Mr. Vince.
I agree that we need to keep our violent felons in custody. Where I disagree is who we are keeping in the jail system. And first of all, that's folks that are simply pre-trial. I think it's been said that 30% of the county jail population could be reduced if folks would just bail themselves out or pay the 10% or pay the bail. The problem is most folks don't have the money to do that and they'd rather just wait and sit it out. What we're lacking and what Sheriff Scott has actually just implemented for post-conviction folks or is looking at implementing is a fair risk-based assessment on who we can let out of jail before trial, not a financial-based assessment tool. So that's one of the ways that I would manage the jail population, because I do not support sending people to Taft in Kern County. So once we have those beds, there's going to be the unions, and we're going to need to fill them, and we're going to get caught in that vicious circle. So again, like my counterpart said, the mentally ill, we need to divert them. People that are suffering from addictions, they don't belong in the jail. We need to have intensive community supervision programs, and also a post-conviction release bond where the community and the family takes a stake in seeing that the person doesn't offend again. And that will include the GPS, as long as it's not the GPS company the probation department is using. Thank you.
Mr. McDonald.
Thank you. I think you'll hear some of the same themes here. I think we've all looked at this very critically and are looking for opportunities. The capacity of the system is 22,000. We've seen it go down into the high 15 range and then back up to 19,000 range. You look at realignment, and that's an issue for us. We manage that as well as we can. I think at this point, we continue to work with big entities at the state to try and be able to make it more manageable as we move forward, to restore some of the parole agents, to be able to get systems in place where we can better monitor people that are coming back to our community. You've heard about mental health. Certainly, that's something that's across America, something that critically needs to be addressed, drug and pretrial issues as well, being housed. We need to do it in a common sense approach. Mentally ill need to be treated at the community-based level as best we can. Lobby for funds from state and federal government to be able to fund local mental health centers to be able to treat that so they never enter into the system. We need to look at realignment. We need to monitor the rates. We need to put teams in place to ensure compliance. as well as the ones we already have in place to be able to spread that. You heard about a risk assessment tool. That's critical, that we look at people not only for what they're in there for currently, but what they've been, what their history looks like, what they've been doing their whole life. The GPS piece, technology, again, helps us do the job. If it's a system that works, then we need to do it, because we found that it does help deter people from doing things if they know they're being monitored, if they know we can go back in time and put them at the scene of a crime. Alternatives are critical. They have to be cost-effective. Community-based alternatives must be consistent and funded appropriately. We need to work and make sure public safety is first, but also look at alternatives where appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Mr. Tanaka.
Thank you. To Ms. Alexander, there's no doubt, first and foremost, that there are a lot of folks in custody of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department that need to be there. They're a menace to society. They're dangerous. They've committed some very violent crimes, and they need to do their time. They need to do 100% of whatever time it is that they're given by the court. That being said, what's been touched on today or this evening is there needs to be an alternative for those who suffer from mental illness. And I'm not talking about the very violent ones that may need to be housed in a more secure facility. I'm talking about those who are suffering from general mental illness. That there is an alternative for them, but it's going to take the work of state officials, the Board of Supervisors, the district attorney, and a number of other probation and community-based organizations to actually come to the table, put their egos aside, and come up with an appropriate pathway to get folks onto into an opportunity where they can get back on their feet. Habitual drug users, low-level offenders, these are folks that don't necessarily belong in jail, but there are alternatives. The CBOs are a good path, but it is really going to take the work and the effort, the cooperative effort of all those entities that I mentioned in order for us to even begin to get there.
And Mr. Gomez.
Thank you. Right now, inmates do about 10% of their sentence, and my plan is to have the violent inmates do 100% of their sentence. The remainder of those inmates are going to be on electronic monitoring, giving back to the communities that they've been victimizing. One of my plans is to work with nonprofit organizations such as Habitat for Humanity, where they're going out and they're helping to build homes for the homeless, the veterans, going to heal the bay, clean out the Santa Monica Bay and the various other waterways. I was here a couple weeks ago for the Democratic Party of the San Fernando Valley endorsement meeting that was held next door. And it was raining on that day, and all the Van Nuys Boulevard, you know, all those storm drains were clogged up, and it was just flooded. Having inmates to work with Public Works and the county work crews to clean the storm drains and do those things where they're giving back to the community. We're not taking away jobs, but they're going to do their sentence, 100% of their sentence, giving back to the community. They're not going to do 10% and out the door. But we need to stop the recidivism that's taking place. Working with Habitat for Humanity, hopefully they're going to learn some kind of a skill that they're going to be able to be productive and not come back to us. Yes.
Perfect. We're going to have one more question from the audience, and then we'll do the closing statements. Gentlemen, your closing statements will be 2 minutes instead of the 90 seconds we've been allowing for the questions. We're going to start with you, Mr. Gomez, for the last question. If you all care so much about fixing the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, why did most of you wait so long to enter the race?
Okay. I didn't wait long. I ran in 1998. I ran in 2002 against Mr. Baca. I announced my candidacy to run this time when Mr. Baca was a candidate. I wasn't an opportunist, as some of these other individuals who waited until he resigned. I've been talking about these issues for those other campaigns, and I've been talking about them this time. So I have not waited. I think these issues are very important, and I think this is an opportunity that the voters really have a good opportunity here to let their vote count and make a change within the department. I'm not part of the inside group. I'm not part of Baca's regime. I'm not part of his inner circle. Those guys are sitting here, but I was not. And I've been talking about these issues. You know, one candidate said he was a whistleblower. I went to the FBI in 2002. I was denied a promotion. I was given involuntary transfers, all because I ran against Baca and I spoke about these issues. So this is nothing new, not for me.
Mr. Tanaka.
Sheriff Baca served for 48 years. He gave a lot to this community, regardless of what anybody wants to think. He dedicated most of his adult life to serving the public. Fact of the matter is, as undersheriff, it became very, very evident that he and I again, differ very greatly on our philosophical approaches to management and leadership. And it was not an easy decision, but back in August of last year, while he still had every intention of running, I stepped down as a number two person so that I could announce my candidacy for sheriff, because I saw that it had come that time, after 16 years with him as a leader, that the organization needed to go in a new direction. We needed someone who had a proven track record of providing leadership which was clear, that was consistent, and was sensible. Somebody who had a track record of making sure that they were engaged in the day-to-day operation of the organization, and just someone who would help restore the trust and credibility in an organization that employs 18,000 hardworking men and women. And that is why I announced my candidacy back in August of 2013.
Mr. McDonald.
Thank you. We've heard the word by those who've been in a while about an opportunist. There's a process. There's a process where you sign up. The filing gate hasn't closed yet. It's on the 12th. When you look at the issues that have happened, I mentioned before that I sat on the Citizens Commission on Jail Violence. And in looking at what was going on in the system, what was going on in the jails and throughout the rest of the department, I looked at that time as entering the race and weighed, you know, what were the options then. I had hoped that the 63 recommendations that we set forth would be followed, that we would see better times in the organization in that interim year. And looking at that, we didn't see that. We saw continued scandals. We saw indictments of 20 individuals, deputies. The morale in the organization at all-time lows. So I looked at that. It would have, at the time, it would have not been fair to the organization I was working with to have entered the race at that time for the commitment that was involved. So I looked at it. I have the full support now when I entered the race of the people in Long Beach, the police department, the city manager, the mayor, the council, and I believe I can offer what is needed at the right fit at the right time. Thank you.
Mr. Vince.
I'd like to answer this question short and sweet. I was the first one in the race against Mr. Baca because I saw that there needed something done, there needed to be a dialogue about the issues, and quite frankly, I thought I could do a better job. And the second thing is, I want to talk about the issues, and this question is not about issues, this is about people. So I'm just going to pass.
Mr. Helmold.
I'm not a politician, I'm a crime fighter, so I don't see failures and misconduct as an opportunity to run for office. That's not how I operate. What I look to do is how can I best serve the sheriff's department that I joined in 1988. When I see troubles at other organizations, I don't see opportunity for myself. I'm committed to this organization. My father was committed to this organization. And so when it was time for Mr. Baca to step down, I had a confidential meeting with him. And I told him I totally supported that because of the morale that I had heard. I served during implementing the reforms at the recommendation of the jail commission. I went to every single jail command and every single shift, and I did hear negativity. And I was truthful about that to him. I did the same in my capacity as the commander of all patrol and detective operations. At every command, I would hear the negativity. So I shared that with him. And he did the noble thing and put his department ahead of his own interests because he knew there were failures in leadership, and he stepped down. And I'm running for sheriff because I believe that's the best way I can help this organization. Thank you.
Mr. Olmstead.
Thank you. I entered this race back in August when it wasn't popular. I talked to a lot of people, and they said, he'll never win. Baca's entrenched, he's got the Hispanic community, he's got the money, he's got the votes, he's got the power. I was retired at the time. I could have stayed retired. That's not what I wanted. I saw that there was a need within the organization to change the leadership, and I went in there to go ahead and change it against Mr. Tanaka and Mr. Baca and do so. I did it because I felt it was the right thing. And then when Baca did step down, three political opportunists, and that's what I'll call them, stepped in when they thought it was easy. But I'll say this. Martin Luther King said this. He said that the true measure of a man is not when it's comfort and convenience, but when there's conflict and controversy. I entered when there's conflict and controversy. Anybody can enter in when it's easy and calm. And as sheriff of LA County, Colo Powell said the command's lonely, and sometimes you just need to stand up there and make the right decisions for the right reasons, even though it's conflicting and there's conflict. That being said, that's the reason why I entered the race.
Very good, gentlemen. Now we are going to go right into closing statements. Like I said before, you guys have 2 minutes. And Mr. Olmstead, if you are ready, you are recognized.
Thank you. Before deputy sheriffs get a badge and gun, we take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, to bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution, and to faithfully discharge the duties. I too took that oath. When deputies take that oath, we don't get to choose which part of the Constitution we're going to defend. We don't get to decide which duties we faithfully discharge. The Constitution isn't a menu in which we can decide which parts we like or we don't like. I've seen up close what happens when leaders of our department try to do just that. They set the tone and they create a culture where rogue deputies and command staff violate the law and their sacred oath. I saw this abuse. I reported it. I ran it up the chain of command to the sheriff and to his inner circle, some of them sitting here with me today. They ignored me. They ignored the problem. And they turned their back on the residents of LA County. It's shameful what happened to this great department, and I'm so eager to join following Miguel's footsteps. You see, the badge we wear is more than a hunk of metal to me, and our nation's flag is more than just a piece of fabric with stars and stripes. I understand and appreciate the fact that millions of Americans died to protect and honor the flag. And too many of our neighbors, friends, brothers, and sisters have died wearing the badge. When those in power to enforce the law violate them, in a small way, our democracy ceases to exist. We've lost over 90 deputies who have fought to protect these values, and I'm not going to sit on my hands and watch others dishonor the memory of this department. And I hope you won't either. Join me. Let's replace politics with professionalism. Let's restore honor and integrity to the LA County Sheriff's Department once and for all. Thank you.
Mr. Hellman. Mr. Hellman, you're recognized.
Okay, thank you. Well, I would agree that there are several people here that are running for sheriff that were ignored in the organization. And what we need is a leader who's not ignored in the organization. We need a leader who has the respect and credibility in law enforcement circles to actually implement change. Not opine about them, but actually implement real reforms. I'm a 25-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department. I've generally served on the front line early morning shifts so I could coach my kids baseball and whatnot. Now that they're adults and out of the house, I have the opportunity to work 16-hour days rather than 12-hour days at work and 4 hours coaching baseball. I'm all in with the Sheriff's Department. I'm committed to this organization. I want to strengthen public safety and restore public trust. Public safety simply means continuing the lowest crime levels in more than 40 years, responding to calls for service quick, emergency preparedness and school safety, and modernizing our Sheriff's Department to deal with the emergence of cybercrime, identity theft, and advanced technology. And restoring public trust is simply youth outreach, community outreach, and total openness and transparency so that the public trusts their Sheriff's Department. And that's what I will do as the next sheriff.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Vince, you're recognized.
Reforming the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department will be a monumental task in light of the many scandals that have rocked the department and the mismanagement that has gone on for far too long. I'm prepared to root out an entrenched attitude of resistance towards reform. When I'm sheriff, honest deputies will thrive because I will institute an unyielding stance against secretive and deceptive conduct. I will rebuild trust and respect between Los Angeles County and its Sheriff's Department. To accomplish this change, the sheriff and the sheriff's department needs to recognize that it is fully accountable not only to the board of supervisors, but more importantly, accountable to the residents of Los Angeles County. Furthermore, I want to see the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department be more than just a law enforcer, more than just a jailer. It should be the shining light of 21st century policing for other agencies to look to, an agency that thrives on innovation and problem solving. I pledge to be a leader in reinventing the criminal justice system in Los Angeles County and California. I will lead the charge and not just complain about the challenges. So I ask you to join me in reforming the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. The upcoming election on June 3rd is our first real opportunity to recreate the department that has languished for far too long. It will take time, energy, and cooperation, but we must not give up this chance to change the LSD for the better. every society gets the type of criminal it deserves. But what is equally true is that every community gets the type of law enforcement that it insists on. So please, help me help you get the type of sheriff's department that you insist on. Please help me with your time, your money, and your support. Please help me change the way things have always been done at the LA County Sheriff's Department and elect me your next sheriff.
Mr. McDonald.
Thank you, and thank you all for the opportunity and taking the time out tonight to be able to hear us. The question, I guess, is why me? My goal is to restore public trust in a great organization and to restore pride within that organization. My style is to listen, to work with the team, but to clearly set the standard, to hold people accountable, and to build a foundation on respect. I've got 33 years of experience in policing. I bring in a fresh perspective as an outsider. I have no relationships within the organization that would cloud that. I've dealt with being an outsider before. I was an outsider at Long Beach PD and have learned a lot from that experience as well. I've been involved in the transformation of two departments that had issues and have worked through them, LAPD, and then also with the consent decree, and then also making improvements at Long Beach PD. I ran the management accountability system at both Long Beach PD and LAPD. I sat on the Citizens Commission on Jail Violence and got an education in that year on what was wrong and what needed to be done, both within the jails and throughout the organization. Last year, I was the president of the LA County Police Chiefs Association. The sheriff has to be a leader within the region, not somebody who's running down other organizations within the region. Relationships, I have them locally, regionally, and nationally. I'm the only candidate here that's run a department. I'm the only candidate as well, as much as we hear about pay to play as a problem within the organization, the only candidate that is not accepting donations from people who work for the Sheriff's Department, or in my case, people who work for the Long Beach Police Department. Crime reduction, job one for all of us. We've had dramatic reductions in both organizations. Crime, violent crime is at its lowest level, despite dramatic budget cuts. I'm very focused on safe streets, on keeping kids safe. I have a broad base of support. I'm firm, but I'm fair, and I'm looking forward to working with you as your sheriff, and I respectfully request your vote and consideration. Thank you.
Mr. Tanaka.
Yes, thank you. I'd again like to thank the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council and everyone here for the opportunity to speak before you this evening. As a former undersheriff, as a mayor, and as a certified public accountant, I believe I have the professional and political experience necessary to lead the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department into the future. More importantly, as a 31-year veteran of the department, I am the only candidate who has the institutional knowledge that will be critical for restoring trust and credibility to the organization. The job of sheriff is too big and too important for on-the-job training. It requires someone who can step right in and hit the ground running, protecting 10 million residents within our 4,000 square mile county is a big responsibility and one which I am prepared to take on from day one. I have a proven track record of providing sensible solutions for reducing crime, being fiscally responsible to taxpayers, and always being accessible to members of the public. I look forward to working with members of the neighborhood councils across the county to help make this and every community safer. Thank you again for your time and your attention, and I ask for your vote on June 30th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wait, we got one more.
Thank you, Miriam. Mr. Gomez, you're recognized.
Yes. My plan is to make Los Angeles County the safest place to live, work, and raise your family. And that starts as the sheriff. And sending a very clear message to everybody who works within this department that we're going to hold everybody accountable, you're going to be ethical, and I'm going to lead by example, and I'm going to require that of everybody who works for me. And it all starts with our hiring, something that I've talked about over and over. We need to hire the best qualified, most ethical people, and then promote them within this organization. One of the things that we had happen was our academy was closed for the first time in the history of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department because we allowed people to take tests 3, 4, 5 times until they passed. That happened under this leadership that some of the people that are sitting here today. We need to hold everybody accountable. And you can't have an undersheriff that goes to the jail and says, work in the grave, right? Work right up to the line, because you're sending a very bad message to deputies who've only been on a couple years that basically, as the Citizens Commission on Jail Violence said, encourages unethical conduct. That should not take place within this department. Under my leadership, that's not going to happen. We're going to provide inmates. We talk about, some of the people talk about, well, getting the medical inmates and the mental inmates and sending them somewhere. Well, we need to deal with them. They're our problem right now. We need to provide them with adequate medical care and mental care while they're in our custody. You know, we wait 4 or 5 weeks to give them medication. That's unacceptable. It's going to happen within 24 hours. We're going to hire more doctors and nurses. That's what we need to deal with. We need to deal with the problem now, not say let's move them and do. We have a problem right now. Let's deal with it. That's the way I'm going to work. We're going to treat everybody with dignity and respect, whether it's somebody in the community or it's somebody housed in our jail. And we're going to have the other programs where they're out there giving back to the community and more involved in programs with the community, where hopefully they're going to learn some kind of skill and not come back to our jail. Chief from Long Beach is here. He's got his own problems. He doesn't talk about the gang problems. He doesn't talk about the officer involved shootings. And that's with his department. So we need to look at, the voters need to look at everybody, who they are, their background, and who's really going to solve the problems within the department.
Mr. Gomez, thank you. I'd like to thank all of the gentlemen up there for being cordial and civil. I appreciate that. On behalf of the entire Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, we wish you all the best. Candy, did you want to add something?
Just quickly, I hope all the residents of the County of Los Angeles realize we have some qualified individuals. Thank you all.
Thank you. Yeah. had more than 24 people wearing t-shirts or stickers. I wouldn't go half, but a good percent, maybe like a third.
George, the manager.
We have a quorum. correct? We have 11?
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we will call on our field representatives from our elected officials' offices, starting with Dora Esparza. Dora, you are recognized. Whatever you want to do, Dora.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dora Esparza. For those of you that don't know, I work for Assemblymember Adrian Nazarian. He is your state representative for the state level. We are in the Van Nuys building. And I just want to make a quick announcement. The Assemblymember is actually seeking nominations. He wants to honor a small business of the year. So if anyone knows of any small businesses, please feel free to contact our office. I brought some flyers and I brought the forms. There are a few requirements such as... Oh, great. Well, feel free to nominate them. The forms are in the front. And the physical location has to be within our district. And it has to be a business for at least 2 years and meet the SBA small business size standards. The applications are due March 26th. So if anyone is interested, please keep that date in mind. And lastly, the small business will be selected and they will be recognized in Sacramento on Monday, June 2nd at the California Small Business Association luncheon. So please keep that in mind. And anything that our office can do to be of assistance, always feel free to contact us. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dora. Very good. Guillermo from Nuri Martinez's office, Councilwoman Martinez.
Good evening, everyone. Council. Very nice. Good evening. My name is Guillermo, and I represent Van Nuys for Councilwoman Ray Martinez. And I have some things to some announcements to make. The first one is Aviation Career Day, Van Nuys Airport.
When is that?
Sorry.
When is it?
It is scheduled for Friday, May 2nd. And it's an opportunity. For students to, and I use people in general, to see what careers in the aviation industry are, meet with professionals and schools have been contacted, but if you have a school in mind that you'd like to participate in this, go ahead and let us know, and we'll go ahead and contact them regarding Aviation Career Day. I also have I have a flyer, which I will pass to the council over here in a bit, regarding the San Fernando Valley Clean LA Solar Workshop and Networking Event, which is presented by the Los Angeles Business Council, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, and our very own Los Angeles City Council member, Marie Martinez. And it's an opportunity for for businesses to get together and learn about the advantages of solar power and installing solar power, to gather the power of the sun and other such things. So I have some flyers up here. And I also have a message to consumers regarding billing issues from the Department of Water and Power. So it addresses a few issues. But, a few things as well regarding billing. And lastly, not this one. But that's all I have. And I know I have a regarding the Raymer Street Bridge. Who's familiar with I'm sure all of you are familiar with the Raymer Street Bridge. So it was recently went ahead and it was painted, the graffiti was painted over by graffiti control systems. They have the capacity to do some of the more complicated graffiti areas. We're currently looking into doing some sort of a more regular upkeep of the area. I know as far as talked to Barry about this regarding the lighting on the bridge, we're working on that as well. If anybody has any questions or, any way that you think that the council office can help you, feel free to give us a call or there.
Camera, very quickly.
Sure.
Graffiti-proof paint.
Graffiti-proof paint.
Yeah, it's available. It's probably three times as expensive as regular paint. But
yep.
That bridge has already been tagged.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate nature, the unfortunate thing is that it was painted over the last week of February, and I went out there, I believe it was Wednesday of that week, mm-hmm. and it was already bad.
So graffiti-proof paint is going to cost you three times as much, but in the long run, you're not going to have to do it every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you could contact graffiti removal and ask them if they can invest in that, I think you should pay in the long run.
Yeah.
Guillermo, are you going to stick around a little bit because we want to talk about the help you gave us this past week?
Yeah, sure, I'll stick around. Thank you. And I'll go ahead and pass the mic.
Perfect. Marco, you ready?
Yes, sir.
This is Marco Santana with Congressman Tony Cardenas' office. Marco?
How's it going, everybody? Good evening. As you mentioned, my name is Marco Santana, and I'm with the office of Congressman Cardenas. Just to let you guys know, the regular field representative is Brian Gavidia, but he's out sick today, got the flu, didn't get his flu shot in time. So I'm filling in for him.
Hi, Mr. Vance,
just know that this is actually great. I'm actually glad I was able to come to this meeting because I grew up and was raised with bad eyes. So I'm happy to be here. But more so, what I'm here to talk to you guys about is we're having an event Saturday, March 29th at the Delano Recreation Center. It's for the Affordable Care Act. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be helping folks sign up for the Affordable Care Act, and we're going to have certified enrollers that get paid through the state, so you don't have to worry about you know, having to pay them or anything. It's a free service, but they'll be helping everybody sign up for either Cover California, and you'll be getting premium assistance through that, or if you're eligible for Medi-Cal and Medicare, we're also going to have the Department of Social Services there helping folks sign up for that. I'm really hoping we can make this a big push, and I'd love to have as much involvement from everybody in the community as possible. The main reason for that is because the deadline for the Affordable Care Act is March 31st. So, you know, we want to get a big push and try to sign up as many people as we can. I'm going to be passing out the flyers to everybody here. I just wanted to pass them out to the council before I did so. Yes.
I have insurance, but I know people that don't. So you're saying that if someone shows up and they do not have insurance, there'll be someone that'll work with them to make sure they're covered or can get covered that day, or only to give them information?
No, we'll be having people there. What they are is they're certified enrollment educators, and those are people that just give them the information. So they'll say, oh, look, you'll qualify for this, for that. And then we're also going to have the certified enrollment counselors. And what they do is they take them through the whole process. If for any reason we've had some instances where you know, the website might be down momentarily or whatever the case is, we have great enrollment counselors that what they do is they get all your information, they'll have you fill out a paper application, and at a later time they follow up with you through the website and finish the enrollment process. So you can bring everybody. It doesn't have to be people that solely live in Van Nuys, that live in, you know, let's say Lake Bubble, because it's not too far from here, or whatever the case is, as long as they're from California, you know, they'll be able to apply for this program.
Right.
So we hope to see as many people there, as I said. And like I mentioned, we're going to try to push this event to be a big one. We host two every week, just to let you guys know. So we're definitely trying to get our whole constituency signed up. So it'd be great if we could have anybody there.
We'll be there.
What outreach are you doing?
What we do currently is we try teaming up with different offices where, you know, we've had actually a assembly member of the member who's out in the 39th Assembly District. They, when we teamed up with them, they do mailers, so they'll send that out to constituency within that area of the event. Besides that, myself and the rest of my staff, we go out to cities, to the streets within that, in the center. So since this will be at the Delano Recreation Center, we do the community that's right there, you know, and we go door knocking to people's houses, say, hey guys, we're having this event, it's right down the street, you know, really no reason you can't make it, it's on Saturday. We post flyers up at local businesses. So it is March 29th away, and we do have a couple workshops since then, but I will be having these flyers all over the area.
Thank you.
able to enroll you into Covered California. So you can also contact our office with anything that has to do with Covered California. This is a very important topic for the assembly member. He does sit on the health committee. So please contact us with anything that has to do with Covered California.
Thank you, Dora. Up next, Lydia Grant.
Did you have a question?
I'm Lydia Grant. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the commissioners that oversees the neighborhood council system. And first thing I want to say is I'd like to hear everybody give this board a round of applause for the amazing turnout they had for their candidate forum. I thought it was amazing, and it was so exciting to be here, and I really want to say thank you. You guys totally deserve the kudos. I took tons of pictures, posted them on Facebook, and I kept going. The crowd is still growing. Like, I was like really pumping it up, so I'm very excited for you. A couple things I just wanted to step up and say. First of all, again, thank you. You guys did an amazing job, and a great job with your candidate forum, too. I did want to remind you guys that you have your elections coming up. We need volunteers to help us with the polling locations. If any of you are available, you can't work your own, but we have elections also. We have Sunday, we have elections. We have elections following Thursday. We have elections every single week trying to get the neighborhood council system boards changed. So if you have any time available, you can call me on my cell phone. I will talk to you directly. I will schedule you directly. My cell phone number is 818-470-6629. If you're a stakeholder and you'd like to volunteer at the polls, you could actually volunteer for the polls here at Van Nuys. So also you can give me a call and or let the board members know. They can give you the information. And I just want to remind everybody that, you know, I know you've been doing a great job, and really kudos to you. I just really wanted to let you know that. And just remind the audience, which I'm sure they'll be reminded many times tonight, but that your elections are coming up
Thursday the 20th,
and they will be from 4 to 8. And if you're volunteering, we'd like you to be here by 3 so that you can help set up, and then after the 8 to clean up. But we do certainly need the volunteers, and we really want all of you to go out and get a group of friends to come in and vote, because there's some big numbers to match. In the rest of the valley, we've had over 700 voters in Porter Ranch. We've got over 600 in Sylmar and Salmatonga, so I'm hoping you beat all of those. Thank you.
Question.
Sure.
You mentioned Porter Ranch. I live in that area, and the turnout was great. I'd like to see that number broken here in Van Nuys. One of the things I talked to with Dunn is that we're able to have people bring the individuals from churches or from who cannot get here, that we're allowed to bring them here. And if you're not running for election, you're able to actually walk them up to the ballot and help them out. So I just want to make sure that's very clear to everyone, because again, we want a great turnout, because again, the group that has the biggest number, the mayor comes out and we'll be doing it.
Yes, the group that has the largest increase is not supposed to necessarily the most, because some started out at 1,600, like at the last election. You don't want to have to, you know, beat that to start. It's the one with the best increase of the amount of people over the previous elections they had. So
the biggest increase.
We encourage you to vote.
Yes. We had 59.
Bring people by the busload.
So if we can come up with 590.
I would like to get the call that you guys have so many people in line that I need to rush over and help you guys get them through. That's what I want to hear. Thank you.
Glenn Bailey, you're up, buddy. 818-470-6629.
Yeah.
George?
Yes.
Okay, Kelly, you're up, everybody.
Thank you very much. Glenn Bailey, citywide election coordinator, and Lydia said it all, almost. So mine will be brief. So if every one of you in this room brought 10 people to come and vote next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, that'd be 400 right there. I'd like to commend your president for his leadership in pushing the vote by mail effort. I don't know how many you have, but it was great to see them coming in. For those of you who have applied by vote by mail, if you apply late, you're going to get your ballot mailed to you late. So do know that it must be in the city clerk's hands by the day before the election. Otherwise, you can have somebody bring it here on election day. You just have to sign the back of the envelope giving them permission to deliver it to the polling place. So your vote will count even if you can't personally get here if you sent in your vote by mail. The other thing is that because this election is self-affirmation, anyone who lives, works, owns property, or has a community interest in Van Nuys, and that means is a member of a religious, educational, nonprofit, or similar type organization that has a Van Nuys, within the boundaries of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council address, all they have to do is when they fill out their registration form is put that address. So make sure if you're in that category, you do have that Van Nuys address that you can put on your category. Yes.
Okay, I want this, and you make this very clear. So if I apply for a by mail ballot and I come in and have it dropped off here during the poll on the 20th, you mean that vote can still be counted if I requested that by mail ballot under the deadline, correct?
The deadline was today at 5 o'clock.
Okay, so anything after today will not be accepted. Any ballot, anybody?
You will not get a ballot if you apply after 5 o'clock today because they will say the application was late. They will not send you a ballot.
Okay, and you'll keep the records of when the ballots came in, etc.
The application, the first thing is you have to apply for the vote by mail. You do that by 5 o'clock today.
Correct.
Once then you get the ballot in the mail, you get it, you mark it and put it in the envelope they send to you and sign it, be sure you fill it out, and send it back to city clerk.
Understand that.
Okay.
You also said that somebody can hand deliver it.
Hand deliver it on election day here at the polling place. I guess here at the polling place. And if you personally can't be there during the hours, you can authorize somebody else to deliver for you. Okay?
Very good. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
And may I explain, because when I first came to vote before I ever became a member, I was looking around, where is it? It's actually outside the building.
Let's move inside the spot.
I know, but
everybody on the foyer.
It's in the same spot, so it's going to be outside the building, right next door to where we are. There's like a little alcove, it's going to be right there. So if anybody looks, we're going to have signs, and hopefully you'll follow those, but that it's going to be over there, so don't try to come in here.
And just a compliment, when Lydia said, if you'd like to get experience in what's going to be happening on your election day, this Sunday, the 16th, Region 3, which is Southwest Valley, there'll be 8 neighborhood councils having elections, as close as Encino and Lake Balboa. So if you'd like to become a volunteer for one of those elections, number one, we need you. And number two, you'll get experience of exactly how it is that the election be run. It'd be a great experience. We'd love to have you. Thank you. This Sunday, yes.
Kelly Tyler, you're up.
What time is Sunday?
It varies depending. Starting at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. to, I think, 6 p.m.
I'm scheduling. Okay.
That's Lydia. Kelly, you're up.
Hi, I'm Kelly Tyler. I'm the branch manager over at the library right over here in the plaza. I'm just here to talk about a few exciting events that we have coming up. So next week we have a great family-friendly event where we're having an astronomer come and speak. So that's sort of a minor event that we have coming up. We have a few larger events coming up. We have an Investing in Working Families event. This is going to be done with another part of the city. We're bringing in a lot of people, and we'll be having the event actually out in the plaza April 12th. We'll be helping people complete their taxes. We'll be helping them sign up for Medi-Cal, CalFresh. We're having different workshops, and our focus at Van Nuys, we're doing this at 4 different libraries across the city. The focus at Van Nuys is young families. So we also have a lot of family-friendly events. So we're trying to bring young families back here into the plaza and try to educate them on different issues related to financial literacy, which is really important for a lot of the residents that are part of our unbanked population. So that will be April 12th, which is a Saturday. The event will be at least 10 to 2. So we'll have lots of fun things going out in the plaza for kids while their parents are attending the different educational workshops. We also are planning something for Law Week, which will be part the end of April, part the beginning of May. I can't remember the exact dates, but it's like April 28th to May 2nd. I don't have all of the workshops planned yet, but there'll be lots of educational information around issues of law for people who are pro-pers and self-represented, small claims, different kinds of workshops in coordination with our partnership that we have with the LA Public Law Library downtown. So that's just kind of spread the word about the wonderful partnership we have with them. And then moving into June, we will be having a big anniversary event. If you were not aware, the library has been here in the Governance Center for 50 years, and LAPD has been here for 50 years. So we're going to work together to do a big event June 7th out here again in the plaza. So I believe the police will be giving tours of the facility. They'll be bringing old police cars. The library will be having some family-friendly events going on, performers, things like that, story time. And we'll also be coordinating, hopefully, with the Historical Society to bring interesting information about Van Nuys history and library service. So library service has been going on here in Van Nuys since 1911. So we'll have, hopefully, some pictures of the old Van Nuys Library, some of the different things that have gone on in its long 100-plus-year history. So that should be a really fun and interesting interesting event. So again, that will be June 7th out in the plaza. So those are some of the fun things that we have coming up, and there's lots of opportunities, I think, for us to coordinate with our neighborhood council. And the only other thing I wanted to mention, and it's also printed up in the newspaper, thank you very much, is I want to launch a Good Government book club. So if any of you are interested, especially those of you who serve in government, I'd like to get different government leaders together over, you know, maybe a lunch hour to discuss really interesting books that have different lessons that we can learn about management and responsible management and leadership through government. So if that's something that you're at all interested in, I'm having a kind of coordination event. The date is listed in the newspaper. You can contact me over at the library. Walk over, say hi. I want to start with kind of an interest meeting to discuss what interests we might have in that subject area. I just thought it'd be really interesting, and it's based on a model that they did in Baltimore that was really successful. So some of the topics, or some of the books they discussed were things like Moneyball. So different leadership lessons we can learn from interesting literature.
Thank
so,
you, Kelly.
Anybody else have any questions?
I also would like to say that Kelly is partnering with LAPD, and we're going to be putting a little library at the front desk of the station to make the station more friendly. So Kelly is cleaning out books, and we are going to be rotating magazines, books, or a little library at the station for the kids.
Oh yeah, and that's supported through our Friends of the Library, so if you'd like to support them, they are having a book sale this Saturday, and that's where a lot of the material will be coming from, is our Friends of the Library.
Very good. Thank you, ladies. Up next, Jorge Castaneda.
The Astronomer is coming Wednesday, and that will be Wednesday at 3:30, and it's an event aimed mostly at children who are school age.
Juan Gonzalez, are you in the room?
Yes.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yes.
Okay, you have 2 minutes, sir.
Ordering Jorge first. I'm sorry.
Jorge, you are Jorge.
I am Jorge.
Jorge.
Sorry.
No, Jorge también. De Cayo.
Ah.
What's up, buddy?
Que pasó.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Board, for letting me speak for a couple of minutes. My name is George Jorge Castaneda. I work with Nextdoor. It's a free social website where communities all over the country are using to get their communities butts off the couch and get things going. Why I took this gig, my background is in politics and union organizing. I took this specific job because I was attracted to this quote that I was introduced to. This is by a gentleman by the name of Robert Putnam. He's a Harvard professor, ton of research on this stuff. He says, social networks in a neighborhood lower crime, improve public health, and raise test scores. This recovers a lot of stuff. And given that it's a free, easy to use website, it's almost like logic clicking to get out into the field and introduce this exciting new tool to all these organizations, neighborhood councils, neighborhood watch groups, folks who are working in libraries. The book club idea would take off on this thing. We have a success stories where in San Francisco they found a kid who was lost a few hours prior. Everybody jumped on Nextdoor, they had a Nextdoor page, and they found the child within a few hours. So it provides extra eyes and ears for the police, kind of like a hyper-local, enhanced version of the Amber Alert. People also use it for fun stuff, like block parties, or simple stuff, graffiti cleanup. You can basically use it as you wish, and the only thing that we ask is that you remain active and you invite your neighbors so you can get to know them and get done whatever it is that you need to get done. The sign-up process is very simple. As I wrap up, I'm gonna hang out for a bit. I can send you an invitation if you just put your email address on this little computer thing. I also have a paper sign-in sheet and plenty of flyers, and like I said, I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm gonna hang out all the way to the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Okay, we established a government center next door, and it runs from Friar Street to, I believe,
Calvert.
Jorge, help me out here.
Yes.
We established the government center, the Van Nuys Government Center next door, and it was Friar to Calvert from Van Nuys. Well, it couldn't include the government center itself. So it starts at Silmar and it goes to Hazeltine. Can you look that up?
I have to look it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're in that area, sign up for it.
Yes.
Become a member.
Very good. Next up, Candito Martin Light.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is Guillermo still here? Oh, he's still here. Good. Mr. President, council members, stakeholders, just to give you a little update. Mr. Martin Light came to us last month, talked about an issue in his neighborhood, and he took the lead, and I want to thank the council office and Garrow and Linda Levitan because they came out and met with us. We had a walkthrough, they went in, and they listened to Martin. They were very kind. He spent about an hour with us. And so, Martin, would you want to tell them what you did? And again, we can get a lot of things done if we have a lot of people like Mr. Martin taking care of his neighborhood.
Thank you for inviting me to the council office, and thank you for the time. Thank you, Candido. And Linda came over from the council office as she was with us in the walkthrough. And we walked around the area over there off of Van Nuys, Valerio Center, and walked down Vista Del Monte, and which never gets cleaned, and we walked on over. We walked on over to Seed Rose Street, which is not a wide street all the way through. And there seems to be a lot of traffic through that area there. We spotted a prophylactic on the street curb there, right in front of my house, but they're all around in that area. That's the kind of traffic we have through there. And we also have a lot of drainage through that area. Whenever the wind blows, it all blows down in there. And nobody seems to want to claim any part of it, but we went over and cleaned it up, and we'd like to have you join us sometime, and thank you for bringing us out.
Mr. President, quickly also, the medium on Van Nuys Boulevard north of Van Owen, that was also cleaned, and the one on Kester Kittredge. The problem with the one on the main street, and I want to address this to Guillermo, it's very dangerous for residents to be cleaning that one. We'll do it again, but the one north of Van Owen on Victory, it's very, very dangerous. And again, Mr. Piper and Mr. Kamara were both there to work out. We could always count on them. I think we did about 10 bags of trash, right?
Yeah.
So it was a good job.
Good work, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Martin, for your time. Thank you.
Mr. Kamara, you're recognized for 2 minutes.
What about Jorge?
Okay, you're next. Or he already went. We have. Oh, yes. Juan, you're talking about Juan. Juan, you're next up.
All I can say is it's been 4 years. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it another 2 years. But we'll see what happens. Another thing, Howard, I don't understand. You're pointing your finger at me, and that was very rude of you during that debate. You know, just because my phone was going off, you could have been nice about it. Hey, it was accidental.
I did turn it off.
And how I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. And, you know, you had no right to point your finger at me. So that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Camara. Juan Gonzalez with Southern California Gas.
Good evening, members of the council, members of the community. Thanks so much for allowing me to speak. If I may, please take one.
I'll tell you. You almost got the best.
Okay.